we are towards the Peruch of Tess. We are in the middle of Peruch of Tess. Middle of Peruch of Tess. In the middle of Peruch of Tess, we are up to Pasuk. Pasuk Ches. For Eishes Chal, you have to tell your wives to come to the Shia. No? Okay. Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perik Chavtes Pasik Ches. Anshe Lotzon Yafichu Kirya Vachachamim Yashivu Of. People who of Lor Anshe Lotzon means quarrelsome people. According to the Mitzvah, through the Mitzvah, immediately Pasik Chav Yafichu. People, quarrelsome people, Yafichu Kirya, they fan the flames of argument in the Kirya, in the city. They like to, when a city is on fire, when there is a machloikis on fire, when there's machloikis, they like to fan the flames of machloikis to maximize, feed them, to maximize the machloikis. You see this every so often. They say a lot, they say this about all. What?
Yeah, like you hear what he said about you.
Exactly. They say this about a lot of major breakoffs in Hasidus among different groups of Klal Yisrael start not so much from the leaders. The leaders are usually respectful to one another, at least in the very beginning. It's the Hasidim. It's the students, the Talmidim, when they see that two people do not get along, there's a disagreement. So between the two people, there's a polite disagreement between the two. They agree to disagree, but their students, they have a different view, and they feed the fire and the flames, and that's exactly what it says over here in this pasuk. We're going to have some similar ideas coming up as well. Quarrelsome people, yafichu means to blow, and contents, it means to blow the flames to make the fire kirya of a city. Vachachamim yashivu up, and wise men have the power to restore order, to take back anger. Mitzudos pasiches yafichu yalhivu ha'ir b'lahavas esh. Yafichu is one word which means to blow, but according to the mitzvahs, we're getting an enormous amount of interpretation. They blow the flames of the flames of fire. Fanning the flames of fire, like a wind, which blows fire, to cause the flames to ascend, to stir quarrel among people. On the other hand, the chachamim, the yoshivu off, means to position, to put in the middle, peace, to make compromise, but to restore anger, to restore order among society. Okay, let's see. Rashi pasik ches yafichu yalhivu ke lahavas esh hanafuach baruch same idea, like a flame, like a torch. Kilavas esh, what's the word I'm looking for? A flame of fire that's blowing in the wind. Okay, this pasuk is said, considered as one popular medrash. The popular medrash says this interprets this in reference to Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu. Klal Yisrael here are called the Anshei Lotzon. Why? Vayakumu Litzachik. Litzachik is what is said about Klal Yisrael in the time of the Chet HaEgel. When Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, the description of their worship was called, they grows up Litzachik to rejoice.
By Yishmael also.
Yishmael also, it says, what does it say by Yishmael? It says, I forgot whatever the expression was, but here it says, and that's, this is what they worship the eagle. Who is the one who calmed things down? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is called the Chacham. He was the one that was mispalled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Zuchus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov not to destroy Klal Yisrael at that point in time. Vayikim Dalot, also you have Kim Tzachek. So Mitzachek, according to the Medrash, is synonymous with the word Lotzon. Lotzon is Leitzonus, and Tzachek is also an expression of Leitzonus. So these two things go together, so therefore we take the whole Pasuk in its entirety, and we interpret this Pasuk in reference to the Dor HaMidbar, the Anshei Lotzon Yafichu Kirya, they rose up and they made things worse by worshipping, inflamed the people by not just to worship the eagle, but also to make litzanis. And the Chachamim, it's a reference to Moshe, he was the one that was able to prevent Hashem from destroying Klal Yisrael by asking him patience to restore af. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chtes, Ish Chacham Nishpat Es Ish Evil V'rogas V'sochak V'ein Nochas. Very powerful pasuk. An Ish Chacham, a wise man, Nishpat. Nishpat here, it's not the usual form, but he means here to a judge or to rebuke. A wise man makes his best attempt to rebuke his fellow man. But the problem is, the one that he's talking to is Ish Evil is a foolish person. So different techniques. When you want to give musa, you can either go easy or go hard. There are two paths. You can say, oh, you're such a good person. Everything, you're such a nice, good person. There's just one little thing, maybe we can improve, we can work on some slight improvement. And then you can take the hard line and say you're good for nothing, you're Russia, Marusha. If you don't shape up, ship out. You can take both approaches. But if you're dealing with a person who's a fool in Ish Evil, the ain nochas, you will gain no satisfaction. Both approaches will result in failure. That is the simple interpretation of the pasuk. Let's see over here the Mitzudas pasuk. Pasuk Tes Ish Chacham Kaasher Hechacham Yavoy B'Mishpat Im Ish Evil. When a wise man wants Ziyavoy B'Mishpat Es Ish Evil to judge, to give musa to a foolish person, he named
him to task.
While he takes him to task for his evil deeds. But the problem is, the one that he's speaking to is an Ish Evil, a foolish person. He named the Od Yikshe LeHachacham. It's very difficult. It's a very difficult task to give Musa to a foolish person. Ki Bein Kas Koasalov, Bein Sochak Imo, whether your approach, your technique, is a technique of anger, or your technique is a technique of happiness, to be good to him, to be Makar of him, with your right hand, Lo Motso Nochas. You will not find satisfaction in achieving your goal. Why? Ki be'es hakas, ech ochas gam he'ovil bekas. If you're going to get angry at him, the foolish person will respond with anger. You go, how dare you speak to me in such a way? Instead of give musa, instead of you giving me musa, I'll give you musa. He will respond in kind. Uve'es, yeah?
From this, that don't get involved with fools.
Yes, that's exactly what it's saying. That's exactly what it's saying. There's no success. You'll never succeed in giving musa to a fool. Whatever you do is not going to work. Whether you go and take the hard line, hard path, it's not going to. You'll be nasty to him. He'll be nasty back to you. The eis sechoik, gavulim. If you say to him nice, positive words, you're kind, you sweet talk to him, and then you drop a little musa, he won't even pay attention to the musa. He'll just focus on the sweet talk. With the eis sechoik, gavulibo, he'll be very happy. Look, this very great person, this very become chacham, this distinguished person is giving compliments. Yeah, in the compliments, do a few words of musa as well. That he doesn't want to hear. With the eis sechoik, gavulibo. So what is the pasuk doing? Exactly what you said. The pasuk is basically giving you advice: stay away from the fools. You will never succeed in giving musa. Whatever you do, you will not succeed. So one more time, the words of the pasuk is a very powerful pasuk. Ish chacham nishpat es ish evil. When a wise man attempts to judge, in this context, it means to rebuke a foolish person. Whether v'rogas v'sochak, whether your technique is one of rogas, to get angry, to be very tough, to be mean, or v'sochak, your approach is to be very sweet, to be very pleasant, v'ein nochas, you will not succeed. Both attempts will result in failure. Now Rashi right away goes to a medrash. Ish chacham nishpat. Okay, first Rashi says the pshat. Mitochach im he'ovil. Mitochach means the misvakech. Thank you. Misvakech, rebuke, to engage in rebuke with a fool. Ve'ein nochas bein mariloi ponim zoyafois. Whether you show him an angry face, bein shemareyu ponim soychakois. Ve'ein nochas, you will not succeed. Loi bezo v'lo bezo einoi moitzei koras ruch. You will not find satisfaction. Rashi very clearly translates word nochas means satisfaction. Fine. That ends Rashi's pshat. Now Rashi goes into the medrash. Upon whom is this pasuk being interpreted in reference to the two kings in Klal Yisrael? To whom Roma who were evil kings, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with them different approaches, different techniques, in order to inspire them to do tshuva. And both of them failed. Both of them did not get the message. And here Rashi explains, Matsilu be'Amatzia, we have the two kings that we're going to focus on are Amatzia, and who's the second one? I forgot already. Let's read the words of Rashi. Amatzia be'Amatzia. Sheher l'Kadosh Baruch Hu ponim sechakos u'mosar biyodei edaim. Amatzia was an evil king. In his time, the people were worshiping idols, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to inspire him to do tshuva. Look, if I'll be good to you, maybe you'll turn around. You won't worship idols. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the king of Edom. The nation of Edom was the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael at this time, but this was a very severe time in history. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the enemy into the hands of Edom. Uveshuva mehakos. What?
The other way.
Matzil b'matzia sheheru l'Kadosh Baruch Hu ponim seichakos, a smiley face.
He delivered
them
to him.
Umosar,
handed him a victory.
Right, basically, umosar biyadei Edom, and Hashem handed Edom into his hands. He prevailed upon Edom. So when they brought back the spoils of war, what of course in ancient times was included in the spoils of war, the idols of Edom. And what did Amatzia do with the idols? So instead of using this as a time to give shevach v'hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing him to succeed and prevail, he took the idols of Shuv Meham. And he took their idols, and look at these new idols, look at the spoils of war, we have new idols. He bowed down and worshipped these idols. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did him a favor, and no good deed goes unpunished, and he used the favor as a way of rebelling further against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine, let's fast forward. Achaz, who's also a Rasha. Achaz, Her HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Panim Zayafos, who was one of the worst of the worst. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to stop him from worshipping idols, so what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Hashem punished him. Hashem delivered Ochaz in the hand Umosho Biyad Malchei Aram. He was delivered to the king of Aram. Vayizbach, and what did he do when he came? He said, look at this, if I have succumbed to Aram, it must be that the god of Aram is more powerful than the god of the Jews. So therefore, I might as well convert. Vayizbach, Elohei Damesek. He worshipped the god of Damesek. He Omar Elohei Aram Ma'azrim Lohem. It helps them. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complaining about two kings, Ochaz and Amatzia. Ochaz is the first king. That's Rogaz. Hashem was angry. Hashem thought, maybe I'll whip him into shape. I'll torture him. I'll bring him suffering. Didn't work. He just said, look at that. It must be their god is more powerful. Sochak, Hashem wanted to inspire Amatzia to do tshuva by delivering a victory. No, it also did not work. Ve'enochas, Hashem did not find any satisfaction, nothing, whether you're good, whether you're bad, it does not work. And I want to tell you this a few times from Rav Herschel Schechter. Rav Herschel Schechter said that we unfortunately have this syndrome, the same syndrome every year after Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, they took the crimson wool and they broke it into two parts and they tied one to the head of the Sola Zazil and the other piece of red wool they tied to the gate. And then they sent out the Sola Zazil and then either a miracle happened and the wool turned snow white, or it remained red. So I think he called it Chazal. Whatever happened was no good. If Hashem smiled at us and it turned white, Hashem was Sochak. So what did that lead to? Complacency. Ah, Hashem forgave us. Hashem forgave us the day after Yom Kippur. Business as usual. Back to all the Averos. Complacency, because look, we're in good shape. If the red will remain red, in other words, Hashem was showing us a pace upon him, Zoyafos. Hashem was angry, so Klal Yisrael, they couldn't live. They were terrified. They were very sad. They were very sad that what are we going to do with our lives? We can't have Simchas Yom Tov because Hashem did not forgive us for our sins. So whatever happened was always led to the Ein Nochas. There's a no-win situation. Okay. Let's now. That's gonna. There's. Okay, the Gemara just elaborates on this idea. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Gimel, which elaborates upon this theme, just has different words. Amar Papa Hainu the Amri Inchi. After the Gemara quotes this pasuk, this is what people say: Bechele Lamar Velo Yida, Chayche Lamar Velo Yida, Vayle Lamar Delo Yoda Bein Tov Levish. Okay, it's the same idea as this pasuk, just in Aramaic. Whether you cry or whether you smile, the person that you're talking to just doesn't get it. Same idea. Whatever approach you take with a foolish person, whatever you do with a foolish person, nothing will work. So let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Anshei damim yisnu som visharim yivakshu nafsho. Anshei damim means violent people. Shevchei damim. Violent people, they hate. Yisnu som, they hate the innocent. They just don't get along with that. That's just different nature. Visharim, but the upright, yivakshu nafshay, they seek out the neshama, the good and better of the tom of the innocent person. Mitzudos anshei damim shevchei damim yivakshu nafshay, the yisharim dorshim nefesh hatom lehitiv ima, to do good with it. So according to the mitzudos, the nafshay is going back on the beginning of the pasuk on the word son. Rashi, yivakshu nafshay, loshon chiba. Bikesh, the word yivakesh is loshon of they love. The anshei dam, they hate. The opposite of hate is love. Is that really the opposite of hate? Is that really true? The opposite of hate is love? That's a philosophical question. But according to Rashi, that's what the pasuk is doing. We have the contrasting hate and love, and the yivakshu means love. Lashon chiba v'nira shekachu shekach shekenhu. K'mo shamar David le'evyasi, he brings a pasuk asher yivakesh es nafshi yivakesh nas nafshecha. Mi sheyigmol li chesed yigmolucha Allah, the one that will be kind to me will be kind to you. So in this pasuk, you have the word yivakesh being used in the context of good. The one that will be good, the one that loves me, will love you. The Ein HaPoisrim Moedim Li, Rashi here says something uncharacteristic, that the Poisrim, the people who give interpretations, the Pashtonim, who give interpretations to the pasuk, they don't agree with me. Why would Rashi say that? Rashi, that's not a very common thing for Rashi to say. I don't ever recall Rashi in Chumash. Every Rashi in Chumash ever say such a thing? Vein ha-poishrim evokes them moidimli. The people who provide interpretations do not agree with my interpretation on this pasuk. It's a very rare, you know, a lot of very interesting things about Rashi, right? All these trivia things about Rashi. This certainly should be part of that collection of this unusual statement of Rashi. If this indeed is Rashi, is there any debate? I don't think there's any debate on Mishlei. I don't think I ever heard of a debate.
What
if it's
differs.
The word yivakesh. Yivakesh means love. Chiba. Chiba.
Yivakesh,
to seek.
Right, but the yivakesh nefesh could mean seeking someone out to harm them.
Right.
Seeking some visharim yivakshu. Yeah, but over here it's in the context of yisharim. Visharim. So in this context, it has to mean something good. Yivakshu nafsho, they seek
right.
them out.
I'm just saying that ordinarily, you'll find in other contexts...
It doesn't necessarily mean love.
Right.
Okay.
That's where they differ from the...
All right.
How can you accept that in this context? How can you say it's a negative?
Okay. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Kol rucho yotzi chesil v'chacham v'ochar yishah b'chena. Now, what does this mean? Let's first see the mitzudos. Kol rucho means everything on his mind. His entire, all of his frustrations, he expresses, he pours out. A wise man has the ability, the wise man has the ability to contain himself. It's a very great koyach, to hold things in. You can explode. You can explode. Sometimes something is bothering you. It's on your chest. You just got to get it out. So you get angry. You just got to lash out. Get it out of you. A wise man has the koyach to contain his frustrations, whereas a foolish person, whatever is on his mind, his ruchoi, whatever on his tongue, whatever in his spirit, anything that's bothering a kesil, yoytzi, comes out. All the nivel peh, all the frustration, all the tsar, all the problems that he has at home with his wife and children, chas v'shalom, it takes it out on everyone that he sees in the street. Kol rucho yotzi chesil. It's a very frightening expression. Kol rucho yotzi chesil. But for chacham, so you would expect the pasuk to conclude that the chacham, he holds it in. No, that's not what it says. The chacham also lets it out. The difference is the chacham lets it out at the right time. He knows to wait. He knows the right moment to let it out. Very interesting idea. Chacham also needs a release. So you have to know the right time and right place for that release. That's the difference. The chacham and like you say about a wise man and a fool. There's no everyone makes mistakes. The only difference between a chacham and a fool is a chacham knows not to repeat his mistakes. It's nice, a chacham, he never makes a mistake. No such thing, everyone makes mistakes. Just don't repeat your mistakes.
Shakespeare said about a fool, full of sound and fury signifying nothing.
What? Say it again?
Shakespeare said about a fool, full of sound and fury signifying nothing.
Signifying nothing, okay. So if it's not in the right time now, b'ochar means at the end. He comes at the end, and Yeshabachena can mean many things. According to the Mitzvah, it means he causes the situation to calm down. The Mitzvah says, in the Mitzvah Sion says, Hashpola vehashkota, calmness, peace, tranquility. A Chacham has the ability at the very end, after things pass, he then comes and quiets down the situation. So let's take a look at the Mitzvah of the Stavid. First, Pasuk Gedal, Lom to the Stavid, Kol Ruchoy, Derech HaKesil, it's the way of a foolish person, Be'ez Yichas, who moitzi min asof aluchutz, he releases from his lips and outwards, Kol Kasoy, Uve Kol Sho'on, and with a loud roar. V'hachacham yavoy bo acharona, but the wise man comes at the end, V'yashkit, V'yashkit kaso, and he quiets, he silences his anger, V'yashpilena, and he lowers the volume, B'ma'ano loshon, with a soft response, B'ma'ano loshon chokhma, with a soft language of chokhma, U'v'mesek sif sedas, and sweet lips of understanding. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, "Be'ocha yishabchenu kishayotzi aksilas kol rucho." When the fool releases all of his anger, his frustrations, bo hechacham v'yashpilenu, he quiets things down. B'ma'ane l'shono, with a soft response. B'ma'ane means a response, the response of his tongue. V'doymelo mashpiach sh'on yomim, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calms down the roar of the seas. The Yamim are the seas. The Sha'on is the roar of the seas. That you have violent waves, violent storms. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Mashpiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives the command, and suddenly the storm is quiet.
Now, people can even say that they're angry or frustrated without the yelling and screaming and expression.
You can see it on their face.
But you could say it in actually a kind of a calm way, still expressing your feelings.
That's already a chacham.
Without the screaming.
That's a chacham. Yeah. It's very, very tremendous koyach to stay cool in difficult situations.
Once it comes out, it calms the world down.
So the Targum is Bishvei Galov Ata Teshabcham. Bishvei means the roar of the sea, when the sea is roaring. Ata Teshabcham, you can calm them down. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have the power to silence the roar of the waves. So he's just saying, he's just using the word, he's trying to over here to explain the word Yishabchen is a very difficult word. Yishabchen normally we associate with the word Shevach, praise. So here that's not what it means. Here, according to the Mitzvahs and according to Rashi, it means to calm down. Calm down is not the typical translation of the word Shevach, and that's indeed why the Medrash interprets it differently. But according to the Pshat, it means a foolish person, he releases anger, he vents, and then the wise man comes and says a few soft words and everything calms down. Okay, now this pasuk, according to the Medrash, is interpreted in reference to Achashverosh. Achashverosh Wait, let me get one more thing. Okay, Dover Achel, one more thing at a time. Shekein Ata Moitze Bi Achashverosh. This is a medrash in Shemois Rabbah and Esther Rabbah. What happened to Achashverosh? Achashverosh, Omar Bittel Melechas Pes Hamigdash, Lefichach Le Molach Ela Ad Chetzioi Shel Oilam. So I forgot what it says over here.
It says the world had twice the 254 provinces.
He only had 127. He was diminished.
He was not a world ruler.
To summarize the Medrash over here says that Achashverosh, in his extreme gaiva, he displayed all of his wealth at the Suda, the beginning of the Purim story. There are six expressions, six different things which he demonstrated. It's six different: Oisher, Kvoid, Malchuso, Yikar, Tiferes, Gidulaso. Six different things he demonstrated, and according to Chazal, this was something that's foolish. A king should not be so arrogant to show off everything, to broadcast his greatest, his gedulas. This was extreme gaiva, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not pleased with. So this is what it means. Kol Rucho Yotze Kisil. Achashverosh is the Kseel. Even though Machlokes Nigmar was Achashverosh a Melech Tibish or a Melech Chacham, here this Medrash takes the view that he was a Melech Tibish, he was a fool. At least his action, he had both. It was multifaceted. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, he had two different whatever, he schizophrenic, whatever that is, but he in this aspect, he the Kseel, the foolish person, he was Moitze Kol Rucho Yotzi. He displayed everything that was on his mind. Let me demonstrate to the whole world how great I am. And Hashem was not pleased. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? V'chacham. The Chacham here refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'achar. When the party was over, Hashem ruined his party by killing his wife. Vashti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted a seed in his mind in his extreme arrogance that Vashti shall be brought before him. She grew a tail, whatever happened, she refused to come, she spoke with chutzpah, they brought out the advisors and they paskined, she must be put to death. And this is something which she ultimately regretted. So his party was marred by Ba'achar, the Chacham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chacham Ba'achar. At the end of the party, of him showing off all his greatness, Yishabchena, Hashem humbled him. Yishabchena, exactly like the Mitzuda says, Inyan Hashpola, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed him down, lowered his arrogance by bringing upon him the tragedy of him losing his wife. Okay, so this is now, this also ties into, okay, the other part of the matter does not really apply to the pasuk, that because he stopped the Beis HaMikdash, I don't know really how that fits into this pasuk, that because Achashverosh he canceled the work, the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, he law half the Malchus was taken from. He only ruled over 127 provinces instead of double. Okay, now we come to there's another very popular medrash which takes with Shevach a little bit differently. If we dash this reference to Yosef HaTzadik, Paro had a dream. The cows, the lean cows, swallowed the fat cows. The lean stalks, the lean stalks swallowed up the thick stalks, the dreams. So Paro was disturbed. He did not know how to interpret his dream. So he called for all of his dream interpreters, all of his advisors. Everyone should come forward and provide an interpretation for the dreams. That's the beginning of the pasuk. Kol rucho yotze kaseel. Kaseel is the collective noun. All of the fools, all of the Egyptian dream interpreters, each one in his own right is a fool. Each one was a foolish person in their own right. They told him the most ridiculous interpretations for his dream possible. Every fool, every ksil, superficial, but every foolish person came forth and told Paro nonsense. Kol rucho. Any stupid idea that was on his mind, he relayed, this is the interpretation of your dream. Paro said, you bunch of fools, that's not what the interpretation is. And isn't there anyone else in this country that can interpret a dream? Yes. There's one person, he's in a dungeon, Yosef. Yosef Atzatik, he can interpret your dream. And along comes V'chacham, a Navain V'chacham Kamoicha. The Chacham Yosef comes along, but Achor at the very end, he gives an interpretation, Yishabchena, and he was praised. The whole, here we take the word Yishabchena in its probably in its more most literal sense, and he was given the greatest praise of Shevach that he, a Navain V'chacham Kamoicha, Ato Yimshal Al Almi, you rule of my people because you understand how to interpret the dream. So this is another very nice interpretation of how we interpret this pasuk. And the Midrash goes on to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this by design, because what would have happened if Yosef, the only reason why Yosef got the Shevach Yishabchena was because Yosef came at the very end. What would have happened if Paro would have immediately called for Yosef? He would have the Sar HaMashkim, and the Sar HaMashkim was by his side every single day. So when the Sar HaMashkim came to bring breakfast, he bring a bottle of wine for breakfast, and Paro says, I had a bad dream last night, so the Sar HaMashkim could have said right away, I know a great dream interpreter back in the dungeon, there's no one like him. So he could have called him immediately instead of rallying the whole country for a dream. So then if Yosef would have given an interpretation, then he would have given an interpretation, he would not have received high praise, because they would say, big deal, the only reason why Yosef gave this was because he was called first. Had you called all of the professionals, then they would have given even better interpretations. Yosef would never have received the praise, the Yishabchena. He would never have ascended to a position of authority in Egypt. He would have remained as a nothing. Therefore, it's that by design, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Be'achor. The key word here, according to the Medrash, is Be'achor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely wanted that there should be a long delay. First, let all of the Egyptian dream interpreters, let them come forward. Let them do their best. Let them try to provide interpretations. And then, they make themselves into fools, exactly. And then, the Chochmah of Yosef will come to light. Be'achor Yishabchen. You don't know in life what's good for you. You never know. You think things, your time has never come. It's all a matter of being in the right time in the right place. A person can come many years early, many years early, just the right thing. You'll just never, it's just not the right time. And even though you may have the most brilliant idea, if it's not what?
Picture phone.
The picture phone was a picture phone that was an early invention that never came.
In the
30s. But now we have Skype. Until Skype came along. Exactly. Everything has as a kol osa yofe bi'itai. Everything has to be in the right time and the right place. And that's pretty much what the Medrash over here is saying in taking the word Ba'achar in reference to Yosef. The only reason why Yishabchena did the world bestow upon him praise is because he came at the end. Had he come in the middle, had he come in the beginning, it would not have resulted in Shevach. And he would not have resulted in being appointed Mishneh Lemelech. Okay, now there's another interpretation for this, and that refers to the Mate Aroin. The Mate Aroin, the third interpretation, are when Paro said to Moshe Aaron, you're telling me to send out your people, send out Klal Yisrael, because you have a God who sent you to give me this message. Prove it. Show me a sign. So what did Moshe Aaron do? What was the first son? They threw down the Mata Aaron, and the Mata Aaron turned into a tanin, into a snake. So Paro laughed. You bring over here magic into Mitzrayim. Say that again.
Like bringing coals to Newcastle.
Coals to Newcastle. It's a joke. You bring over here. He called all of his Egyptians. He called all of his locals. Come over here. Throw down your stick. Do the same trick. Like do a car trick, right? Let me show you, Paro, that I have a sign. Pick a card. I'll tell you the card that you picked. What are you, joking? He called out his professionals. I can do much greater things. So indeed, he called for success. He called out all of the professionals. They threw down their stick, and their stick turned into a tan, into a serpent. But then Aaron had the last laugh. The last laugh was Vayivla Mate Aaron es Matoy son. And Chazal said it was a nes b'soich hanes, because first the mate, the tannin, turned back into a mate, and then it swallowed, and it was not at all, it was not thicker than it was before. Then Paro got scared. So here it's exactly, kol rucho yotze chesil. The chesil here refers to the Egyptians. All of the Egyptian magicians, they did everything that they can pull off. Kol rucho, whatever they had to show, they showed. They turned their sticks into snakes. But the chacham, Aroin, Ba'achor, at the end, Yishabchen, humbled Paro by showing by Yivlan Mate Aroin es Matoisam. And indeed, it says here, and I never saw this medrash. The medrash says something very interesting at the end, is that Paro went after this. Kishara Paro Kane, I'm reading you from the Medrash Shemos Rabbah. Very interesting to learn Medrash. Today we have Art School published, very fantastic. No, you don't go for it? No. Okay, sorry, I said the wrong thing. Kishara Paro Kane, when Paro saw this miracle, Tomav Omar, he was amazed, astonished. Omar, Umoim Yoimar Lamate Bila Liparoi Ulikisai. What's gonna happen if Moshe tells the Mate to swallow up me and my throne? Okay, I never heard that part of the Medrash before. Okay? You knew this part of the Medrash from Chol. What's gonna happen if the Moshe will tell the Mate swallow up Paro and my throne? What's stopping it? I'll also be swallowed up. So therefore, Paro got scared. So that's what the pasuk means of here. So we have four interpretations. Kol Rucho, to review the four interpretations, Achashverosh, or refer to Yosef HaTzadik, or it's going to be referred to the Mate Aroin. What was the fourth interpretation? I forgot. Maybe only three. We only have three. We only have three, and maybe it's just three. I think I forgot. Only three. Three interpretations. Three interpretations.
Paro in two. Well, you mentioned Paro twice.
Yeah. Paro what? Paro.
In the context of the mate.
Yeah.
And now of the snake.
In the mate, and the. Same thing. So Paro, Yosef, and Achashverosh. Three different incidents where we can relate this pasuk, we can connect this pasuk. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chiyudeis, Moshel Makshiv al Dvar Shoker, Kol Mishorsov Rishoim. Now this is a very frightening pasuk. When the Moshe listens to one word of Sheker, all of a sudden, all the good men in this company become wicked. That's very, very, very frightening. In other words, if you have, you're guilty by association. Very, very, very scary thing. If you associate with a person who's problematic, that says something about you. It's a very frightening thing. So Moshel Makshiv al Dvar Ukshayav, you have a Moshel, and the Moshel decides to listen. You know what? Let me go listen. He's a good man, right? It seems like he's surrounded. He has a cabinet. He has advisors, mm-hmm. and they're the best and the brightest, they're the finest, and they're good people. And then all of a sudden, one day, the Moshel decides to be a little corrupt. He calls in one guy, and he says, "Tell me some lashon hara. Tell me some lashon hara. Also, lashon hara is also. What do we do? So let's do something corrupt. Let's get involved in something that's corrupt. So what happens then?" All of the other members of the cabinet, all of his other associates, they see, the melech, he wants to hear lashon hara, or the melech, he wants to get involved in things that are not 100%. If we want to keep our job, mm-hmm. if we want to keep our position here, we better toe the line. We better also get with the program. And the new program is illegal conduct, illegal activity. So automatically, kol mishasav rishayim, everyone becomes a rasha. Even though they may start out good, but that's what happens. Very frightening. Possible. See, pasuk yibes. Moshel kasher ha-moshel makshev davar sheker. When the moshel, he listens to devar sheker, to words of sheker, makabel divar sheker, he makabel divar sheker, Oz kol misharsav mishamchim l'risham. All of the misharsam turn into risham. Ki leman, it's human nature. In order yimtzu chein be'edav, in order to find favor in his eyes, misabim l'shkarnim. We also speak sheker. V'choytim b'nafshay sam, and they also do terrible averos. Now this pasuk, to give an example of this pasuk, there are two different very powerful examples. One example is David. And not David, it's Shaul. Shaul HaMelech. Shaul made the fatal mistake in that he listened to Lashon Hara about David. Shaul was what's the word for Shaul? He was
Colin.
He thought that David was trying to was going to kill him.
Yeah.
He was paranoid.
Yeah.
He was paranoid. Shaul was paranoid over David, so he was always watching his back, even though David had never any kavana to do anything to him. And anyone that was willing to say Lashon Hara about, he let it be known. Anyone that has something bad to say about David, come forward. So who came forward? David's enemies. David had a collection of enemies. Doeg, Huadoimi, who else came forward over here? What does it say over here in the Medrash? Doeg, yeah, Doeg. Doeg was the real problematic. Doeg was extremely jealous of David. So Doeg was the first one to say Lashon Hara about David. So what happened? Now, Doeg was not part of, was not related to David, wasn't one of his mishpacha, wasn't the same shevet. But then, who got wind of this? What's called the Zifim. Who are the Zifim? The Zifim are a family from Shevet Yehuda. They're David's blood relatives. When the Zifim, this family of the Zifim, found out that Doeg, that Shaul, is very anxious to hear some Lashon Hara, and Doeg is first online to say Lashon Hara about David, so the Zifim, David's blood relatives, will cash in. It'll be good for us. We'll get benefits from Shaul, because Shaul was in charge, if we'll say Lashon Hara. Oh, but David's our blood relative. You don't normally stab your own brother in the back. Right, that's not the way the world's supposed to go. You're not supposed to do that. But listen, Shaul is the Moishel, and Shaul, he wants to hear Lashon Hara. Doeg is giving over some garbage. So we'll also join. So what? David's our blood relative. Just because we're also Shevet Yehuda, who cares? That's what the pasuk is upon them. Moishel makshiv al dvar sheker. When Shaul, who's the Moishel, is listening to dvar sheker, kol mishar. So even your own relatives. Even your own relatives will do you, will stab you in the back. Kol mishar, so Risham, you'll become Risham. Very scary stuff. Now, who else is this set upon? This is set upon Achav. Upon Achav and and Nadi Zevel. Achav was a terrible rush. Give me one second, just to remind myself of there was Achav. Shechted for his people. Okay, give me one moment just to turn to the page. The very powerful Medrash. Okay, Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat went to visit Melech Achav. Yehoshaphat was the Melech Yehuda. He went to visit the Melech Yisrael Achav. And it says there they had a meal, they had a suda, they had a party. Shaila is who gave the Hashkacha. This was before the days of the OU. So who gave the Hashkacha for the Suda? So the Gemara says, it's okay. Achav is a Jew. Achav is Jewish. So what's the problem? He's a mummer. A mummer can do Shechita. A mummer that shechs an animal is a kosher Shechita.
Yeah,
and we learn it... What?
As long as I'm
Rav Gabov. So we learn from this. And how do you know? Look at Yehoshaphat was a tzaddik. He said, oh, Yehoshaphat was a tzaddik. No question about it. And he came and he had a suda by Achav. Achav was no tzaddik. He was a Rosh Marusha. And he was a mummer. From here we learn in the Gemara that a mummer is kosher l'shchita. The Gemara is a kasha. What's the raya? Maybe be a mess if a mummer is not kosher l'shchita. Achav was a melech. He had a big, major staff. Someone in the White House, kosher kitchen. Kosher, yeah, so we had a kosher, big deal. So we had a kosher kitchen. So what's the problem with a kosher kitchen? So the Gemara says it can't be. If the Moishel is a mummer, everyone is a mummer. Everyone, it's a trickle-down effect. And the Gemara applies this pasuk. The pasuk says, Moishel makshiv al dvar sheker. If the Moishel is a mummer, kol nishar sof. There's no kosher kitchen.
What about
Avadiyah? What? Avadiyah, they brought from him, well, that was a whole, the ravens brought from him. Meat from the palace.
Yeah, but...
Same thing. Okay, the same riot. You're right. The same riot. So where do you get the meat from? But also, a mummer is kosher l'shchita. Same as it was a hayrosha. This is a whole discussion. I remember the Gemara. Discussion. So, Hayrosha. Or I can't remember this much, whatever. But here's a Ferish Gemara in reference to Yehoshaphat and Achav. The Gemara is Kasha, he's a mummer. The Gemara is it's not a raya. He must have had a kosher kitchen. There were other Koyaz Mesharsav. The Gemara quotes this pasuk, no such thing. Trickle down effect. If the people on the top are corrupt, that's the way the world goes. Everyone is corrupt. And the Musar Haskell is, if there's corruption on the top, stay away. Stay away. Look where you end up. Very, very frightening.
Say in Yiddish, the fish stinks from the head.
Ah, okay.
Okay,
let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel is interpreted many ways, many interpretations. Rosh v'ish tichochim nifgashu, meir einei shneim Hashem. Two people meet up. They meet up together. Who are the two people? We have a Rosh. A Rosh, the person who's dirt poor, but he's dirt poor from birth. Ish tichochim, according to the Mitzudos, the person who's poor, but not from birth. He started out as a millionaire. But he had made some bad investments, and he had a turn in fate, where he became an ish tichochim, means a crushed person. So both of them now are online for welfare. They're at the welfare office and they're standing in line next to each other. One guy, it's no busha for me. This is where I come from. I come from poverty. I was born to poverty. The other person is a very big busha. He's a very big busha. He's an ish techachim. He started out as a very wealthy person, and now he's been crushed. He's been humbled by losing all of his money. Nifgashu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes that these two people, they meet up with each other. And what happened? Meir Einei Shneim. And at times, both of these two people, you could have a situation where both people come to the Mercedes dealer. They're coming over here to buy a luxury vehicle, and they look at each other. And one person, to me, you know, to buy a Mercedes, you know, it comes to me. After all, I'm a fifth generation multi-billionaire. I have more money than you can possibly count. And the other person yesterday was on welfare, and then he won the lottery tickets, and all of a sudden now he's a multi-millionaire. And they're now. Coming to buy the same luxury vehicle. They're both Meir Einei Shneim. Both of them, their eyes have been enlightened to wealth. Meir here in the context of this pasuk, according to the Mitzvah, this means that Hashem has opened up their eyes to enjoy the finer things in life. But one of them was a pauper and has become extremely wealthy. One of them was wealthy from the very beginning. How could such a thing happen? The pasuk concludes with one word: Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam has cheshbonos. Hashem controls the fate. Hashem controls who is rich, who is poor. There are people that are born into poverty, and there are people that are born into wealth, and they become poor. There are people that are born into wealth, people that are very poor, they become wealth. Whether you're going down, the Rosh V'ish Techachim, or whether you're going up, Meir Einei Shneihem, their eyes have been enlightened to success. Everything comes from Hashem. Hashem controls the fate of man for better or for worse. And that's how the Mitzudos Tavod interprets this pasuk. Very, very, very interesting. He's reading quite a bit into the pasuk, but if you don't read a lot of the pasuk, it's very hard to translate the pasuk. So that's a very long Mitzudos. Let's follow the Mitzudos pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Rosh, whether you're dealing with a person who's poor, meaning from the day he's born into poverty. Bein hanoil b'oish, a person who's extremely wealthy. The achazeh huka v'nishbar b'choli ho'oini. He's smitten with the illness of poverty, called poverty and illness. Loi b'mikra ba. So the Mitzudas now is poetic. He's jumping to the end of the pasuk. Nothing happens by accident. Lo mikraba ki me Hashem. He just takes the last word in the pasuk. Ki me Hashem yatsa hadava begzera hayeredes min hashamayim upoksha bohem. And this has met up with both. And poverty has met them both. Whether the poor from birth or rich and became poor. Vehem nifgashu min agzera. They've been met. The gzera has overtaken them. Vehem meir. And likewise the other way around. What does that mean? Ratzalai mar v'chein kasher yasher ha'ani, when the poor man becomes wealthy. Oy hanoilad bo'isher, a person was born in wealth. V'hukah, a person was born, when a poor man becomes rich, okay, poor man becomes rich. Oy, hanoyle, the person was born wealthy. Now he is a little bit more here than I originally explained to you. V'hukah b'choli ha'oini, and then he becomes poor, but he has a rebound. There's a rebound. He comes back to his original state. Kasha yachzor likadmuso, when he comes back to his original state, so he's just coming back to where he was before. It's nothing new to him. When he finds himself now in a state of affluence, it's no big deal. This is where he belongs. This is what he's used to. Loi b'mikro yovo yitznap b'mikro ki Hashem hu hameri ene shneim. When Hashem enlightens a person to find wealth, whether he's poor from the start or he was rich and then he became poor, then became rich again, ki Hashem hu hamir ene shneim machsheches ha'ini, the darkness of, I'm not sure if I'm reading that correctly. Is that how you read it? Everything that's good and bad is kubigzera. The loy b'mikro, nothing happens by chance. Okay, so this is the Mitzudos unique interpretation of this pasuk. Rashi doesn't even give us a pshat. Rashi just goes to the drasha. The drasha refers to two different students of Torah. A Rosh means a person that doesn't even know the Aleph Beis. An Ish Techochim means the average Talmud Chacham. Techochim is a very difficult word to translate. According to the Mitzudos, the way the Mitzudos translate it, B'loshon Hako Ushvira, like Hake Sake, to hit, which means, like we explained, it means a person was hit. He was struck. He was wealthy, and he took a hit. And now he's poor. According to the Mitzud Rashi, the word techochim means in the middle. Tovech. Normally tovech has a vav. Normally tovech has a vav, but somewhere you need to change the. I'm not sure, but that's how we translate it. Let's see. Techochim means someone who's in the middle. Toich, loshen of toch. Okay, toch v'emtza. Okay, means. Someone who's in the middle, toch. Meaning that he's an average Talmud Chacham. He's no great Eloi, but you know, he's no Amoretz either. He's someone who's in the middle. And the Amoretz goes to the guy in the middle and says, can you do me a favor? Can you teach me something? I know nothing. You at least know Seder Noshim. You know Seder Moed. So teach me a Daf Gemara. So it says here that if the average person, what would he be inclined to say? You know, you got the wrong guy. I'm just the average. You want to go a good shiur. Go to a bigger. So go to someone who knows Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. So here, this is an amazing medrash. That's the wrong approach to teaching Torah. Teach Torah. Anyone can teach Torah. Okay, like you have this is the derech in Kiruv today. Kiruv today is that you don't have to be. Well, they have this. It's like partners in Torah, exactly. They have these very great, fantastic advertisements on the radio for being a foster parent. You don't have to be perfect. These hilarious commercials. I'm sure you've all heard these commercials. To be a foster parent, you don't have to be any great chacham. Just an average person can be the most wonderful foster parent. To adopt a child or to be a counselor for a child. That's what it says over here in the puzzle.
Partners in Torah.
Yes.
Nobody cares how much you know as long as they know how much you care.
Ooh, what an expression. Wow, okay. And that's learning, partners in Torah. And then there's Project Inspire, which is in Kiruv.
Yes, Kiruv. Well, partners in Torah is the same.
No, they're not. They're different, organizations.
It's the same idea.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the same idea, but the different organizations. I know someone that's very involved in the Project Inspire, and he told me a lot of interesting things how they work together, but they're different organizations. Organizations. Solomon is a partner. He's Project Inspire. Partners in Torah is a different organization. They're a much older organization. They're much more well established.
Yeah, Partners in Torah is from Torah Himself.
No,
they.
Ellen Gewurz, Rabbi Gewurz.
Yeah, but it's part of Torah Himself.
Okay, whatever it is. Rosh, so here is exactly what it says. So you can be an average person. And if nifkashu, they meet up, and the average person says, okay, I'll teach you what I know. I'm not a great Elul, I'm not a big Talmid Chacham, but I'll teach you the best that I know. Meir Einei Shneim Hashem. It says, they will both be granted Siyata D'Shemayim beyond their wildest dreams. The person who's the Am HaAretz certainly will gain enormously from the average person. He'll teach him whatever he knows. But the person who is in the middle, he will now go all the way up. Mitalmidai Yoyser Mikul. Exactly what the Mepharshim say. This pasuk captures the essence of that. Mitalmidai Yoyser Mikulam. That's the Rashi, how he elaborates. V'ish Techachim Ish Mizimois. A person of plans, which means Baal Torah. So Rashi here is translating, not like I told you, means the man in the middle. That really, that's, okay, that the Medrash elaborates much more. The Medrash, Rashi is taking this in the Medrash, but the Medrash, at least according to the interpretation, it's not really the Medrash, he's eating interpretation from Rashi and the Marsha. The Medrash seems to say the word Techachim means Mizimos, a man of plans, a man of thoughts. A man of thoughts, it's a very hard word to translate into Chachim, a person who thinks. A Talmud Chacham typically is a person who thinks. Well, a person who thinks typically is a person of Talmud Chacham. They go hand in hand. You can't be a Talmud Chacham unless your brain, the gears in the brain are spinning. The gears in the brain are spinning. So that's what it means over here.
Simply, yeah. Say people have the wrong concept. They say a Talmud Chacham is a learned man. The Talmud Chacham is a learning man.
A learning, excellent, right. Excellent man. That's what Rabbi, that was one of the major themes of Rabbi from Atlanta, the rabbi from Atlanta.
Feldman,
that when he first took position among people that didn't know very much, they looked at a Talmud Chacham as a person who's completely finished learning. There's nothing more. That's a very interesting mindset. You go out of New York and you meet people who unfortunately do not know as much as they will one day know. They think, oh, you have smicha, you're done. You're not supposed to ever open up the Gemara, open up a Chumash. You're supposed to, that your learning has come to an end. You got your degree and you're finished. Unfortunately, that's how it is sometimes. How many people open up a Yerideya, ever open up, blow the dust off the Yerideya after they get smicha?
So why does a lawyer practice law? I thought he could do it over.
Why does a lawyer practice? So this is a Talmud means you're a perpetual student. Mezimais means your mind is churning. An ish mezimais means a baal Torah. An ish, they meet up. So a baal Torah meets either with a poor person who is ignorant. Hashem enlightens both of them. So Rashi now elaborates. Rabbi Seinu Perishu Talmud Shama L'Rav Hashineni Perik Echad. Teach me one chapter. And the Rebbe teaches him that one chapter. Rashi is being Makatsi. Rashi is taking this from a Gemara Masechta Tumura. The Gemara Masechta Tumura there goes and says, elaborates, the real Vayikra Rabba, where, like we said, where the Ish Techachim means he knows a little bit in the middle. He knows one say the two star, and the other one knows nothing. You teach him a little bit, both of you will grow. Umi Talmidai, Yoyser Meikulam. The average person can grow enormously by teaching other people the Torah. Okay. Now there is another idea that this is more a spiritual idea, but you hear different rabbanim say this, is that some you granted siyata d'shmaya. When a person has a question, person, I have a shayla, I have no idea what to do. I have a pot and some milk, a meat pot, and some milk fell into the pot, and I don't know how you go to a rav. The rav is granted siyata d'shmaya to properly paskin the shayla. There are many different stories where rabbanim they paskin shaloi kedin incorrectly, and then they discovered that it wasn't even a real shayla; it was a theoretical shayla.
Some cipher. They asked him a shayla, and he said, "This is a hypothetical shayla, isn't it?"
How do you know?
You know. So he says, because I don't have the siyata d'shmaya.
I don't feel the siyata d'shmaya. And that's exactly what the Pasuk of Yira says. When a rosh, a person has a question, he comes to an ish tichochim, to a person who is, let's say, like Rashi, to a Talmud Chacham, a person whose mind is spinning, to a Talmud Chacham. I have a shaila for you. So technically speaking, the Talmud Chacham will not necessarily know the answer to the question. It's not, he doesn't have the koyach to know the answer to the shaila. But the Pasuk says there is siyata d'shmaya. Meir Eine Shneim Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant the Talmud Chacham siyat d'shmaya to give the proper answer to the question. Even more so, you find very often like rabbis they say they come to the Rav is here. Shalom Aleichem. Siyata d'shmaya, to know what to say at the right time, in the right place, in the right event, like by a funeral or by a simcha. You would never think of saying this on a Tuesday afternoon, but somehow this siyata d'shmaya, you said the right thing to the right audience. It all is rooted in this pasuk. Meir ein eshneim Hashem grants siyata d'shmaya for the Talmud Chacham to reply to the rosh with the proper insight that he needs to hear. Okay, let's go to pasuk Yud Dalet. Melech shefet be'emes, be'emes, be'emes talim, kisay lo'ad yikon. Okay, it's a pasuk is Rav Mitzuda says be'emes means with integrity. V'lo yisa p'nei bal dinay v'im hu asher. Be'emes means he does not show favoritism. A king judges the world with emes, with integrity, to the dalim. The poor people come before him. He does not take advantage of their poverty. Does not pass judgment. Such a type of king, kisoy lo adikon, his throne will be established forever. Now, by the way, one thing, something important I left out, going back on this theme, this goes back to yesterday. Yesterday, the same pasuk dalet. Just look at pasuk yudalet together in contrast with pasuk yudalet. Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz v'ish trumos yarsan. Same idea. Here we have melech b'mishpat yamid aretz, a king through mishpat yamid aretz, and here it is melech shofet b'emes. Same idea. So a lot of the midrashim said this is the one of the makaris for the brach in Shmon Esrei. Hashiva shofteinu kivar rishona v'yatzeinu kivatchila v'haser mimenu yagon v'anocha. If you'll have yod. If you want to remove Yogoin Va'anocha, there shall be, you want to have the real thing, it has to be the Melech Pasuk Dalet, the Melech Shofet Be'emes. Where do we say the word MS? I'm getting confused. Say this. Allah Tzadikim. Okay, the only place we say the word be'emes is in Sochot Cholabotim Shimcha be'emes. Okay, that's in Allah Tzadikim. But in the Hashiva Shevteinu, so here we have Mishpat. We want our Shevteinu Kuvar Rishoina back to Pasuk Yudalud Melech Shevet and Pasuk Yudalud be'emes, and Pasuk Dalud is with Mishpat. Okay. Let's go to the next. Be'emes. Oh, in Alat Sadikim, you have MS also. Okay. Okay, let's go to Pasik Tesvav. Shevet Visechachas Hiten Chochma, Benar Mishuloch Medishima. Okay, Pasik telling us the importance of Musar. And the only Musar comes with actual. Corporal punishment. Shevet v'teichacha sitin chalasil b'mitzudas pasuk tezvav. Shevet v'teichacha, shevet Musar, the rod of Musar v'hatoichacha. The shevet of Musar v'teichacha kolecha mechem yitin chachma b'lev ha'pasam. Each one of these things is shevet, the rod, and toichacha. So teichacha is words of Musar. Shevet means physical affliction. Each one of them bring in the heart of the fool b'lev ha'pasam. Bring improvement. Aval hanar hamishulach lelechas b'darkei libay, but a nar that's allowed to live his life without any musr, a person that's just a weed, he let a child grow up and without giving him any musa, he let him do whatever he wants. This, the yimdu mimenu shevet, you hold back the rot, v'toychachas. We have this idea so many times, especially in the beginning of Sefer Mishlei. The spare the rod, spoil the child. The yisha sechel, he will remain foolish. Uvzeh hakol mevayishim. You know, we have this idea so many times. People will come to embarrass, to shame the child's mother. It's your fault. The chinuch, the main chinuch, the thrust of chinuch falls upon the mother. Loimar shehi mono hamusim imenu. She has withheld musim imenu ki chen derech hanashim legagel. But then, because it's the reason why they criticize the mothers, because the mother is one they dote on their child. Legagel albeneim. Imkain who goyim levayish asimus, with this child causes mother to be ashamed. Ki lo nimsa by chokhmah, because the child does not find, the child lacks chokhmah. Oh, so that's the medrash. The medrash says this pasuk refers to Yishmol. Yishmol, that's Rashi. V'solasi v'Rashi v'nar mishuloch shasholchay aviv alechem sevdarchay libay. A child that's mishuloch. A child that is sent forth. You let him do whatever he wants. Mevishimo is a disgrace to the mother. Yishmael, it's a disgrace to Hagar. Al shahaya rasha, goram l'sara, sha'amro li'avraham, goresh es hama, go send out, send away goresh. So mishuloch means mishuloch, this nar, Yishmael was mishuloch, goresh es ben hama, hazoz ki lo yirash b'ni, and Yitzchak, he was driven away, and mevish ima was a disgrace to the mother Hagar, she had to leave with him, the goymer. So that's how the Medrash interprets this pasuk. Okay, with that we will conclude. Mm-hmm.